Suppose that tomorrow every preacher in the world of every faith, every denomination, joined together with every other preacher and sent a nice big letter to the heads of every government. Starting this Sunday, we are going to teach our congregations that you cannot go forth and kill. What would happen? Of course, the government wouldn't know what to do about it, except possibly put those who signed it in some kind of a quarantine, have some kind of sanctions against them, some kind of effort to, in some way, stop them, intimidate them, maybe get them on a tax charge, do something to stop this terrible thing which says we shall not kill. And then the government would get out its propaganda agencies, and I'm speaking not of our own, but of every government, and say, well, if we don't send our boys forth to kill, how can we protect ourselves? Now, in this particular country, we have a motto, in God we trust. That would be somewhat like Hezekiah saying, they have only the armor of flesh, in God I trust. Now then, if the preacher, the church, cannot trust in God sufficiently to teach us, thou shalt not kill, and mean it, and enforce it, and refuse to budge, where do we learn the truth of the Christ message? And as we follow this paradox through, we discover there is a very insidious reason for the inability of the church to make this stand. And the simple matter is that in God we do not trust. We haven't the slightest trust in God. It's a very difficult thing to trust in a God you haven't seen, and it's even more difficult to trust in a God you do not understand. Now then, in spite of a Christ message which was brought to us to bring us, educate us into the meaning of God, it should be quite clear that the world at large is unacquainted with their Father, knows very little about their Father, and is not receiving a teaching about their Father, for there is no one to teach it. Let us examine the Christ message from the standpoint of the healing miracles. And I think there is where you will discover why the world at the present time is not awake, but is sleeping to the truth of the Christ. Let's see the mission of Jesus and its purpose, not from strictly an eye-level point of view of a man who came here to heal the sick and raise the dead and feed the hungry, because he didn't really come to do that at all. The healing of the sick was of those who were not sick physically. He came here to heal the sick who were sick spiritually. He came here to feed those who needed spiritual food. He didn't come here to raise corpses, but to raise those who were dead to the divinity within themselves. Now, you know, he taught us the unreality of matter, and so consequently it would be quite foolish for him to come here to heal matter when he's teaching us the unreality of it. We must see then that he was not doing a patch-up job on God's handiwork, but instead he was revealing something about that handiwork that man did not and does not seem to know. His mission, in the broadest possible scope, was to prepare a way for the will of God to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And he had a specific way of preparing that way because he was under sealed orders. His doctrine was not his own. And the message that he finally brought us, though obscure to most, is our practical way not only of alleviating ourselves from the physical disorders. But, as you can see now, he was opening a way to a higher order of things, in fact, a vastness so far above the present level of man's evolution that in not seeing his true deeper purpose, we have limited ourselves to the physical and obvious facts that he definitely did not come to change. We're going to see then that he used the physical as a demonstration of something quite different. And this demonstration has been missed. To open man to his own soul, to reveal a divine omnipresent love which fulfills the law, to touch the inner self, to open man to inner communion, to release man into a new realm in which he is not mired, in which he is not held down to earth and its limitations, to open man to new dimensions of life, infinite in scope. These were not the objects of a man who merely came to do a patch-up job on the human physiognomy or the human body. And so this realm that he opened up to us, although it was buried again, is the realm we're concerned about. And the way to find it is to look at the nature of a problem. To see what was behind his work, we have to look at problems that we entertain today. Now, the problems that you have, to you represent things you have to change, overcome, eliminate. And he was here to teach us that is not the nature of a problem. He was here to teach us that a problem is, first, evidence of ignorance which causes the violation of a spiritual law. And you've got to learn to think of your problems as evidence of your ignorance and consequent violation of spiritual law. Two, to show us that a problem is a signal. And three, to tell us that a problem is a demand that you make your adjustment in order to repair that violation of spiritual law, and four, that you do not try to repair that violation by human means, but seek the Father within. Now, these were very four simple things: violation of spiritual law, signal, demand that you correct the violation, and finally, that you correct it not by seeking human aid, not the psychiatrist, not the chiropodist, not the druggist, not materia medica, and not even the church, but to seek the kingdom of God within you, for the kingdom of God is neither low here nor low there, but within you. And to turn us to this kingdom within you was the outstanding purpose of the mission, so that in finding the kingdom within you, you would eventually become the king of that kingdom. Now then, we have not heeded his approach to the problem. And the reason we haven't is for some strange reason obscured. But we still have not caught on to the fact that he was showing us that you can never go to God to solve a problem. You see how we're still going to God to solve our problems? And his teaching was, never go to God to solve your problems. Never pray to God to solve your problem. Never stop to pray, and never seek to overcome the problem. The battle is not yours. There is no problem to resist. This was his message on how to find the peace that we all seek. And so we look now at his methods of healing, because they contain for us the key to our methods of healing, not only the physical body, for that is not our prime interest. The healing of a physical body solves only that particular problem, but it does not solve the problem of life. And so we're looking at healing from the broader scope of how it releases you from the mysterious material problems of life and lifts you into another realm where these problems do not exist. Now then, let's take one of the basic principles of his healing work, because this should be your way of life. And that was that there is no problem. And because of it, man is solving a problem that doesn't exist, and therefore unaware of the real nature of his problem. Unaware what his real problem is, he is trying to solve the false problem. And no matter how he solves a false problem, he has no solution. His real problem is that he is accepting a material universe, a universe of flesh and blood. And Jesus was revealing a spiritual universe unseen to human eyes. And so man, continuing to live in a mental, material universe, trying to solve material problems mentally, is completely oblivious to the fact that he's working in that which Jesus called unreal, this world. And the work must be done in the kingdom of God. And you must find that kingdom within you. Now we're going to find that kingdom right now, because this is the crux of the entire healing work and the entire healing way of life. And those of you who have been working with this statement have only begun to catch a faint whisper of its truth. If you've done this with me privately, do it again, because we must see that Jesus was telling us the kingdom of God within you is what he referred to as my peace. My peace. You don't go to Materia Medica. You don't go to the drugstore. You don't even go to a practitioner. You seek my peace. And my peace is the continuous, every day, every hour, every second awareness, which not only heals that which seems to be the problem, but does something very beautiful beside. It lifts you into a new dimension of consciousness, which invites Spirit from the invisible to lift you still higher and higher and higher out of the realm of three-dimensional consciousness into your illumination, into the realm of eternal reality, into the realm of soul self, out of the realm where problems seem to exist. My peace. Now let's analyze it very carefully again, because when you understand it, you will never again try to heal or try to reform or try to change people or things or conditions. You will simply know the magic word is my peace. Now peace to us has been something that meant absence of war, or a way of relaxing, or absence of anxiety. We all want that kind of peace. But I leave with you my peace. And this I is what Jesus referred to as the Father within. I leave this peace with you. I, the Father within. And so you see that this isn't quite the same kind of peace you've been willing to settle for. You'd be very happy with 70 years of peace and no war. Or you'd be happy with financial peace or emotional peace. But we're going to have something quite different than that. Something not as transitory as human peace. Not a peace today and another disturbance tomorrow. But I, the Father within, leave you a different kind of peace. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. My peace. And my peace is your eternal Christhood. And of course, I give it unto you means you have it now. My peace, my Christ peace, is the peace that removes every form of iniquity from your life that you can ever have. For my peace is the only power there is. My peace walked up and down Galilee and healed the sick and raised the dead and fed the hungry. My peace multiplied loaves and fishes. My peace healed the withered arm. My peace healed the deaf mute. My peace gave sight to the blind, because my peace is reality. My peace is truth. And when you find my peace, you are dehypnotized from the belief that there is something in the world to overcome. Now, my peace is neither low here nor low there, but in the kingdom of God within you. So there's where we go right now. Into the kingdom within. I am in this kingdom, for I am the Father and I am king of this kingdom, and this is where I reside. So I am within you now, and I, speaking from within you, say, my peace I give unto you. Not in a book anymore, but now within you, I am saying to you, my peace I give unto you. A beautiful, different kind of peace than the world knows. A peace not as the world giveth, but my peace. The peace that passeth all understanding of men's minds. An infinite, eternal, timeless peace. And having this peace, you shall never thirst nor hunger. You shall have life eternal and know it. So let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. And then we wait, for this peace is going to remove us from the realm of a human being with a problem. It is going to elevate us into a different kind of life. It is going to take us out of the crawling creature who pleads for forgiveness for sins he didn't commit, who worries about a purgatory that doesn't exist, who thinks he was born in iniquity when he wasn't. It's going to take us into the realm of truth, where we know the power the Father had with us before, the concepts, the misbeliefs, the superstitions that add up to this world. Before those occurred, this power that the Father had with us, this love, this kinship, this oneness, has never ceased existing. It is now. And the Christ message shines now. And we feel its power, and we see that which the church has missed, that there is no me to go to another God to find that which I already have. The power of the Father resides in my true self, and in this peace which the Father brings unto me, I come into the realization of my identity. The identity which is liberation from the false creeds, the false doctrines, the false sectarian viewpoints into the infinite oneness of my Father's presence, my Father's love here now. And in that presence, I am liberated from dogma. I am liberated from disease. I am liberated from pain and suffering. I am liberated from the belief that I die. I am liberated into the reality of my eternal life, the immortal self, and I know it. Now then, this is the kind of healing we're looking for. Not getting rid of a sore thumb. The healing that liberates the soul, where only the human mind had held sway. And this is the kind of healing that Jesus brought us. Every time you accept the authority of those words, "My peace I give unto you," and you take the time and the effort to seek that peace within, you will find the Father ever ready to embrace you. And in that climax of oneness, you will see the power of the peace. For this peace is the peace that goes before you, perfecting everything that concerns the Christ, making a table for you in the midst of all the worldly enemies you may think you possess. This is the peace that says to a cripple, "Get up, pick up your bed." And if you're that cripple, it says it to you. If you're a mental cripple, it says it to you. If you're a financial cripple, it says it to you. But it doesn't just say it, it commands you. And it lifts you with that command, because it is the power of God. My peace means that I bring you peace from every discord the world has ever known. And this little group of us here, and those of us who are studying the Infinite Way and other movements which are teaching this truth, these are the ones who are being prepared to receive my peace, but it goes much further. Because the my peace you're receiving has an infinite dimension we still do know not of. And that infinite dimension is this. When you are in contact with the Father and the peace of the Father is upon you, your liberation is far more than freedom from the material problems of the world. But rather it is a preparation. It is a preparation for another existence on a higher order, which is necessary in order to prepare you for the next existence beyond that, which is to be governed by the infinite soul of the Father, in which all perfection shines forth and the divine image and likeness of your true being is made manifest as your daily experience. This preparation of my peace opens you to the teaching of Spirit. Until then, you're working with the mind, unaware that God the Father is the law, the mind is but the instrument for that law, and the body is but the outer manifestation of that law. And this only comes when you let yourself be prepared by the inner peace. That peace, you see, is the purifying element which removes the discordant tensions, fears, doubts that comprise the substance of a glass darkly, which is your separation from you, from your very self. Now man, still working under the assumption that he is physical man, cannot be one with God. And so he is unaware that God is present, that truth is present, that Spirit is present, and that Spirit being the law, he is unaware that perfection is present, and so he's chasing away things that he thinks exists. And this, of course, is the folly of all, not knowing that what we consider our problems represent simply our own limited and unaware experience. The hypnotism of this human view of life is released when you are in my peace. Now, this must be your way of meeting difficulties, because it's going to be more than that. It's going to be your way of entering into the next dimension of life. My peace is the key that turns the lock. And there is not one of you who cannot feel this peace and behold the salvation of the Father whenever you are beset by even the slightest tremor of a cold or a flu or a backache or whatever it might be. You simply turn to the Father within to receive his peace. It's really that simple, and it is the Christ teaching of 2,000 years. Let's take a peek at how it works. Here we have a man who has a withered arm. Now, there's no going to God to solve that. There's no praying to God to change that. But there's simply a state of peace. Peace be still. My peace I give unto you. Now, what is happening in that peace? Do you see that the withered arm is a projection of the mind? And in that peace, the mind is no longer active. The mind is at peace. The mind is so at peace, it's taking no thought. And as it is reaching into the divine self, taking no thought of its own accord, that which the human mind had outpictured is dissolved into the divine image and likeness which the soul now outpictures in the absence of human thought. The peace cradles the human mind to sleep, brings forth the mind of God. And the arm is stretched forth. You say, why don't I see these things around me today? When you go in for the peace, you're waiting for a visitation from the Christ. Jesus was the Christ. He didn't wait for a visitation. And therefore, right now, they were coming to the Christ direct. When they come to you and me, unfortunately, we still have to realize our Christhood. And so we go within for this visitation, and it takes time. And secondly, not only did they touch the Christ now when they touched him, but having the consciousness of the Christ, to him time was no more. And so they received a healing, or what appears to be a healing, in the now. When they receive it from you and me, they receive it in time. And it takes time for it to evolve into visible manifestation. So remember, Jesus was the prototype, living in the Christ, as the Christ, without time, in the consciousness of God here now. You and I are not doing that. But we shall, as we practice it, and then our healings will be quicker, closer to instantaneity. But don't look for it tomorrow until you can be sure to say and know that you are the Christ. Never expect instantaneous healings. We have not, as a group, reach that level. We're on the way. Now, putting this into practice, you see Jesus teaching that all that is considered power in the visible world is only power to the mind of man. There is no power over you when you are in my peace. When you are in my peace, then all is dissolved into the realization of one power, God itself. The one power of the peace within you does all the work. That's the Father within doing the work. There's nothing for you to do. Your only demonstration is to find my peace within you that I give unto you. Do you see how your work is simplified? You're not defending against anything, and if you do, you lose it. You're simply finding my peace and letting my peace be the power that shows you there is no other power on the face of the earth. Now then, spirit alone is the power, and all of the material universe is the pretense of power. And your function is to see that the pretense of power cannot be a power over you in the peace. It can't be oversimplified, because that's all there is to the healing consciousness. And so, to practice it, your function would be to be in the office, for example, and to have some discords there around you, and not try, humanly, to change them, but to live in the awareness that the peace of God is within me, and if I can touch it, it in its own miraculous way will alter that which human eyes are seeing out there. I don't have to do a thing. I have the meat the world knows not of, and if my mind is stayed on him, that meat will nourish me into the peace. The peace will go before me and remove the problems. And there are no exceptions to this rule, whether it be your business or social life or whatever. The peace invariably is the power. Now, this is the principle of one power, which you later learn to be the principle of there is no power, for God is and only God is, and all that God is the only thing that exists. So the power is non-power of anything on earth. I rest in the Father's peace within me. Now let's feel that peace before we have a little break. We will have the break. And then we're going to try to apply this to a few healings. Now, there comes a moment when this peace does take over, and you know it, and you feel it. and all of the world around you is dissolved. And you behold a miracle of this Christ peace. There's nothing it can't do. It will remove every disorder in your life, every disorder on the face of the earth, when everyone is able to attain it. It is actually the Christ functioning as the will of God. It is invulnerable and indestructible. It is the Spirit which proves the non-validity of power and might. It is infinite, you see, not finite. And it envelops all that exists within itself. The full power of God expresses when you touch the peace. Let this be your quest, and it will be your fulfillment. Now let's take a couple of minutes off and then come back to applying it.